There are no limits and no boundaries as we continue to see increase all around us, as the Lord continues to enlarge the territory of His people. And as we trust Him, lean on Him, totally depend on Him, He leads us and guides us into the directions that He would have us to go. He sends us destiny helpers, those that will help us to fulfill the purpose and plan that He has in our lives. God is a good God. He is faithful. And in the midst of trials and tribulations and storms and tests, we can trust in Almighty God. And we thank Him for the great and mighty things that He's doing in the lives of His people. This is Evangelist Carolyn Robinson Smith, and we thank you for tuning in to the Kingdom Building Broadcasting Network's International Sunday School Lesson. Listening in by way of www.warrior-ministries.org. And if by chance you're hearing this in a Facebook Live or a Facebook replay, and I say if by chance, just in case we have an opportunity to share that on today, we will. But we bless God for each and every one of you. Thank you for listening in. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Ah, my God, and more than anything, thank you for just walking this journey with us as we trust God in all that we say and in all that we do. He's a faithful, faithful God. What a powerful Sunday school lesson we have this week. And I'm not the only person that will say that every week. In several of our Sunday school communities, it's the same thing every week. We have another powerful lesson. This is a great lesson. And as we get into these lessons, the thing is to apply what we're hearing, to not just be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word. And in this hour of all the things that we're facing, things that will come, things that are to come, the thing is we have to trust God. And we have to know that our life is hid with Christ in Him. We have to know that we have a blessed assurance that He's ours and we belong to Him. Ah, God is good. And our lessons for this week, we're in the fall quarter. We're still singing songs of the Old Testament. And we, again, this week are in the book of Psalms. And we're looking at a psalm, and they attribute this psalm to David. Most commentators say it is of David. And we're going to go with that on today. But our topic for today, trust in God alone. And our second topic, let the silence speak. Let the silence speak. Our youth topic is silently waiting. Our children's topic is power and love. God has the power, and He is full of love. All power belongs to Him. Ah, we bless Him on today. Our printed text is coming from Psalm 62, verses 1 through 12. And our background scripture is Psalm 62. Our key verse on today is Psalm 62 and 5, reading it from the King James Version. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Again, such a powerful lesson, and we want to get into it. We have some music that we want to just play in with the lesson, but we're going to see how all of that works out and remain in our time restraints. But we just bless God on today for this lesson. Our devotional reading for this today comes from Jeremiah 17, 5 through 11, and we will share that as we're going through our daily devotional readings. But this is so powerful. We just have to learn to trust in God alone. Some may trust in horses, some will trust in chariots, but we will trust in the name of our God. We'll trust in Almighty God. I just want to say again, thank you for your support, your prayers for the ministry. For those of you that are sowing into the ministry, we say thank you. We continue with our efforts, especially with our inmates as we're getting into the Thanksgiving and the Christmas season, as we will be feeding them and sharing other things that they need. We continue our ministries with the female inmates there at the Butler County Correctional Facility. We're working with the Greenville High School's football team, as well as working with our elderly in our nursing homes. And for those of you who support those efforts, we just want to say thank you. Those that are supporting the 21 Days of Prayer and joining in with us, thank you as well. We appreciate you. Ministry is all about us coming together, fulfilling purpose and destiny. And everything is not for us, and everything is not for you. So that is for you, that God has assigned your hands to, do that. And just trust God to just watch him, to watch over his word, to perform it. He's a mighty, mighty good God. We're going to go to God in prayer, and then we will get into our lesson for today. And again, I have several things in mind. And if the Lord allows me to continue in that vein, we will do that. Might be a little bit different, but it's going to be how the Lord is leading us with this lesson on today as we look at this powerful song. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you now. We come saying thank you for being the awesome and the mighty God that you are. We come saying, God, we bless you. We glorify you. And God, we magnify your name. There's none like you. Ah, God, we can search the world over. We can't find anyone like you. So, God, we trust in you. And with our trust, our hope, and our confidence all in you, ah, God, we have a blessed assurance that you're working all things out, and you're working all things out in our behalf. We stand on your word on today, God. And we know that all things are working together for good, for those who love you, for those that are called according to your purpose. We love you today, God. And we know that you called us for such a time as this. We know that there's purpose and destiny over our lives. So, God, we know that all things are working for our good and to bring you glory. So help us to go through whatever storms we face, whatever trials, whatever tests we go through, whatever the situation, help all of us to just go through. Because as we go through, Lord God, you show yourself mighty and strong. There are so many opportunities for us to look to you that others will see you did it. It was nobody but God. And we just thank you for all of that today. Thank you for giving us Jesus, your son, your only begotten son. Jesus, thank you for shedding your blood, giving your life that we might have eternal life. You redeemed us back to God, and for that, we say thank you. Thank you for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit, our comforter, our keeper, and our guide, the one who goes beside us, walks beside us, lives within us, teaches us, brings all things back to our remembrance, leads and guides us in the direction that we should go. Prays for us, prays through us, to you, God, and we thank you, for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, God, we just thank you for comforting bereaved families everywhere. Death is not a respecter of persons. Everyone has an appointment with death, except we're caught up in the rapture. We, too, are going to die one day. But Lord, help us to live our lives pleasing to you. So that others might come to know you through the lives that we live. Help us to be the light of the world. But God, in the midst of it all, comfort those who are losing loved ones. Comfort bereaved families now, God, in the name of Jesus. Strengthen as only you can. God, and we speak against illness and dis-ease in our bodies. We say that cancer bows to you. We say diabetes, heart disease, liver diseases, kidney diseases, everything, arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, bursitis, whatever it is, it bows to you. Back problems, neck problems, they bow to you in the name of Jesus. Healing is the children's bread, and we stand on your word. God, we know that you're sovereign. You do all things well. We pray for these elections that are coming up. cover every candidate, cover their teams, cover everyone in this, Lord God. We stand in the gap and we intercede. That the enemy has planned, we speak against it now in the name of Jesus. Cover your people, Lord God. Cover them in your blood. And Lord, we lift up our youth on today. We pray for our young people. Comfort, strengthen our young people, Lord God. Help them to stand. Help them to know that they too can trust in you for all things and doubt you for nothing. Help them with their schoolwork. Help them in their school activities. Cover them on the ball fields, Lord God. Cover them in all that they're doing. Keep our children, Lord God. We just thank you today. God, we're just going to continue to give you praise, glory, and honor. For Warrior Ministries, we ask you, Lord God, as we lift this ministry up before you, have your way, Lord God. Send those that are supposed to help with this ministry. Touch the hearts and the minds of the people, Lord God. Because, God, as we sow, as we continue to give out that is spiritual, help them, Lord God. Touch their hearts, Lord God, to give back into the work of the ministry. Not giving to me, Lord God, but giving it unto you in the work of the ministry. And then, Lord God, bless them. Those that are giving, Lord God, bless them 100-fold. Bless them as you see fit, Lord God, and do it all for your glory. God, again, we say thank you. We give you praise, glory, and honor for this lesson. And we thank you, God. That we're learning. We're learning how to hold our peace and let you fight our battles. We're learning, Lord God, how to just lean and depend on you. We trust you for all things and doubt you for nothing. Have your way in this lesson. Speak to us and speak through us. Speak through the songs, Lord God. Help us to be all that you've ordained for all of us to be. For this we say again, thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's people said, amen. Oh, we trust him today. He's a mighty, mighty good God. And yes, he's enlarging our territory. There are no limits and no boundaries. We continue to see increase all around us. Ah, and we bless God for the increase. We bless God for the open doors. We bless God for the opportunities. He's doing great and mighty things. There are no limits. Take the limits off of God. He said, ask, seek, ask, knock. He'll do it. We have to trust him and believe by faith that God would do just what he said that he would do. Again, in our lesson on today, trust in God alone. Ah, what a powerful lesson. Again, I just keep saying that as we've been studying throughout this week. My songs have been changing all week. Now I just have a whole playlist. So we're just not sure exactly where we're going to go with all of our songs, if we're going to fit some of them in or all of them in. But we're going to trust God in the midst of it. And I pray that you're blessed as we go through our lesson. As we're preparing, this is always one of my favorites, and I'm just going to start with this song, and then we'll do some reading as we go through it. But this is Trusting God, and I love this version from Aware Worship featuring Mark Gutierrez. And we trust in God. We trust in God alone. Thank you, Lord God. We have a blessed assurance.
Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine.
Thank you, God.
He's been my fourth man in the fight, time after time.
He shows up every time.
Born of his spirit and washed in his blood.
Thank you, God.
And what he did for me on Calvary is more.
He finished the work on Calvary. It's already done.
So I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God.
You trust him today? He never fails.
Never fail. He will never fail. Perfect submission. And all is at rest. I know this.
Will you let the Holy Ghost lead you? So this is my story. God has already written it out. He's already planned it. We just have to walk into it. Order my steps, O Lord. And that's why the psalmist was giving God praise. He's the one that never fails. And as we continue with that in the background, we're going to move on into a few other things in our lesson, our unifying lesson principle on today. There are times when the fast pace of life keeps us in a frenzy. Where can we find solitude and calm? In stillness and quiet, the psalmist found God's salvation, hope, refuge, and deliverance. And then, and when he finds this salvation, this strength, this protection, this hope, all of this stuff that's tied up in this salvation, not the salvation of coming to know Jesus, but that thing that God's saving grace, God's saving mercy is there. God's protection is always there. As we go through this lesson, or as we complete this lesson, we'll look at the following lesson objectives. We'll review the role of stillness and silence in defining Israel's relationship with Yahweh. And when we look at Israel's relationship with Yahweh and how they had to wait on the Lord, how they waited patiently on the Lord, we think of us. We're his chosen people now. We're his. He wants us to get quiet sometime, get in that still place, that quiet place, so we can hear from him, away from the noise, away from the clutter, away from the frenzy, away from everyone else. And then we will recall an experience when turning to God in silence brought greater peace than turning to alternative sources of solitude. And I tell you, it is better turning to God. I can do other things. I can go to the beach. I can go to the water. I can do things being in that solitary place. And there are times when I have reverted into solitary places of depression. But I've learned. That I have to trust in him. And as I trust in him, in the stillness, in the quiet, in that peaceful place with him, as I steal away with him early in the morning, he speaks to me. As I steal away from him at other times, to him at other times during the day. And as I've learned to hold my peace and allow the Lord to fight my battles, I know that I walk in the victory. And that's what he's doing for us. Ah, we bless God on today. And we're going to get into our daily devotional readings, and then we will get into our lesson. What a mighty God we serve. He just provides us with just what we need at just the time that we need it. And I always say, as they prepare these International Sunday School lessons, there was a time when we were all studying the same lesson, different denominations. We were all into the same lesson. And now, because of changes and how different commentators or how different publishers feel about what other publishers publish and don't publish and how the scriptures are set up, we have all different lessons, and that's okay as long as we're still studying the Word of God. But I always go back to these international lessons because they are so powerful. And I know that many, many churches are studying this same lesson. And I think that if all of us that are studying these lessons would apply these lessons, what a powerful church we would have. What a powerful church we would have. And we just continue to trust in our God because he's that God who will never fail. And we're going to hold that song for just a moment, and we're going to go a little bit further into our daily devotional readings. As we begin, and we do our devotional readings sometimes a little differently than they are listed here. And that's what we're going to do on this morning. as we start, we will start with Psalm 28. That's the first one that we'll start with. And I guess I will go on and share a little bit of this one and then bring it up a little, take it down a little bit. I know you say this is a little different, but it's just the way that the Lord is leading me on this morning. That's the only way. And as we come by faith, we look at Psalm 28, and it is entitled, God is my strength and my shield. To you I will cry, O Lord, my rock, do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, become like those who go down to the pit. I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you, when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. That third and fourth verse, do not take me away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity who speak peace to their neighbors, but evil is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them according to the work they deserve, because they do not regard the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. Will you trust in the Lord? Before we go any further in that, will you trust in the Lord? God's going to destroy the wicked ones. God's going to deal with that. Vengeance belongs to him. Are you going to trust him until you die? I'm going to trust in the Lord. And why are you going to trust him until you die? The remainder of that, blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. The psalmist says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also and bear them up forever. Who wouldn't trust that kind of God? The one that lifts us up. The one who keeps us no matter what we're going through. And we continue trusting in the Lord. That's the God that we serve. He's such a good God. He's such a mighty, mighty good God. And we're going to listen to just a little bit more of that in the background as we go into Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 8 and 13 through 14. Trust God with all your heart. And as we look at this proverb, we can say, well, most people know it. Well, we don't know that. We're just going to say, as we look at Proverbs 3, 1 through 8, it's a faith walk. And we trust him with everything. Proverbs 3, this is guidance for the young, listed through the New King James Version that I'm reading from. But I'll look at starting with verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. This is for all of us, young and old. The wisdom of Solomon. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. When we stop and acknowledge him, we want to acknowledge God afterwards. But the word tells us to trust him in the beginning. Trust in his holy word. Seek him in the beginning. He won't fail us. He shall. Not he might. Not he possibly will. But the word says when we acknowledge him in all of our ways, he shall direct our paths. Not just in the big things, but in everything. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. But verse 13 and 14, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver. You can have all the money in the world, but without the wisdom and the knowledge from God, you don't know what to do with it. So let's learn how to trust him. Let's learn how to lean on him in all of our ways, not in some of our ways, but in all of our ways. That's how we trust God with all of our heart. God is so good. We go to Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 11. This is our devotional reading for today. But it said, blessed are those who trust God. And we have to continue to trust him. We have to continue to trust him. Jeremiah 17, 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land which is not inhabited. We can't put our trust in the arms of flesh, in what we have or in what others have. We can't depend on people. We have to depend on God. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But his leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of the drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Goes on to say that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You can't trust in the things that you think in your heart. You gotta trust in God. The Lord search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways. That's coming up again. We're going to reap what we sow. God is going to repay us according to our ways, according to how we treat people, how we deal with people and the things that we do, whether we walk in obedience to him. So we have to make sure that we're doing this thing. We're walking this walk the right way. And the only way to know that we're walking it the right way is that we learn to trust and depend on God. He is good. He is good. As a partridge that broods but does not hatch, so is he who gets riches but not the right way. Your ill-gotten gains, like you sitting on a brood and they never hatch. The biddies never hatch. But the thing is, we have to trust God. And when we do that, we'll do it the right way. Ill-gotten gain is not going to help us. We find that in our lesson today as well. It will leave him in the midst of his days, and at his end, he will be a fool. So I bless God. I bless God for that on this morning. And again, I'm continuing quickly with these songs as the Lord has given them to me. And I'm just sharing a few things as we go through our lesson. I'm going to go from there to Mark 9, 14 through 27. And basically, as we go through Mark 9, we find that Jesus has come down off the Mount of Transfiguration, and someone there has a demonically possessed, a tortured son that's being tormented, and this boy needs healing, and he's gone to the disciples, but the disciples have not been able to bring healing, the healing that this man is desiring of the Lord. And as we look at this, this boy needs to be healed. And I won't try to read all of this, but when Jesus came down, he began to ask the people, what were they discussing? Then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. And then Jesus answered, oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him. When he saw him, immediately And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So basically, demon-possessed, court, just going through all of these things. But Jesus began to look at his disciples, and he looked, and often after the child was thrown into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. He was saying, help my son. Jesus, can you help him? And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And I had another song queued up, but I'm just saying, all things are possible. Only believe. If we believe him and we trust him, nothing shall be impossible to them that believe. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And that's where sometimes we are. Lord, we're trusting you. Lord, we want to believe in you. But God, help us to just be still and know that you're God. Help us to just stand and trust in you. And this is what this man was saying. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And sometimes that's just what we have to say. Lord, we believe, but we need you to help our unbelief. Help us to grow in faith. Help us to grow in trusting in you. And we know that we will come out with the victory. And I'm just going to listen to just a little bit of Be Still and Know in the background as we're going further in these lessons, because that was one thing we had to do, and we have to do. We have to get still. We have to get to Jesus. We have to hear him. We have to follow and obey him. And this man could have been just going on and on and on and angry with the disciples. But when he got to Jesus, he got to the source of the power. He knew just to listen to what Jesus said. And when Jesus said to him, all things are possible to them that believe. He heard him say, you need to believe. He said, Lord, I believe. I believe you can do it. But that part of me that's doubting, Lord, help my unbelief. And Jesus saw all the people. He rebuked the spirit. The spirit came out of this young man. And as I look at that, he talked to his disciples about the faith that they needed. And in that 29th verse, that's not a part of this lesson, it says, but this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. As we pray and seek God, as we see situations, it's time for us to travail and intercede and stand in the gap. But Lord, when we don't believe, we just need you, God, to help our unbelief. Jesus spoke to him. Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out. And that's what happened. That spirit had to come out, and we bless God. I'm trying to get through the remainder of these daily devotional readings. We're just going to be still, and we're going to know God. We're going to trust in God. From 5 and 6, those would be those two daily devotional readings. I have them numbered in the order that I'll do them. But we look at 1 John. 1 John 4, verses 4 through 13, and 1 John 4, verses 14 through 21. And in that first devotional reading, God in you is greater. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that's what we have to remember. The greater one lives on the inside of us. And because the greater one lives on the inside of us, we have this boldness. We have this assurance. We know that God is there. And as I read it, 1 John 4, starting at verse, I'm going to pick up there, maybe at verse 4. I just quoted that. But you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. We look at those that are in the world and all that is going on, but we can't worry about that, because we have to continue to trust in God. And as we go further in those verses, it's something about this love. And then we have to know God through his love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So we say we love him. We know that he died for the propitiation, or he died for all of our sins. He loved us so much to die for us. But why is it that we say we love God when we don't love one another? And you know what? This just cannot be so. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Whoever confesses who says that they love God, they've never seen him. But you can't love other people. There's something wrong with that picture. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed that. We have to know. And the only way that the world is going to know that we're Christians, they're going to know we're Christians by the love that we share. And now they don't know who we are. They don't know who this church is because we're not showing love. We've let politics divide us. We've let denominations, isms, and schisms. Everything has divided us. So how do they know that we're Christians when we're not showing love, when we're tearing one another down, when we're mistreating everybody? Ah, and I knew I was going to do that. I tried to click the CC off, and then I came up with a completely different song. Y'all bear with me just one moment, because see, that's the thing. They will know we're Christians by our love. And I just want us to hear that. If we don't hear any the other songs that I had queued up, they'll know we're Christians by our love, because we're professing something and we're not walking that thing out. And that's why I say it is so important that we as Christians walk in love. We can talk Sunday school all day long. We can do every Sunday school lesson. And we can keep teaching and keep teaching and keep teaching. But when we don't love other people, when we're tearing other people down, when we're mistreating others, we have to walk in this love. And how are we going to have boldness on the day of judgment? How can we stand before God on the day of judgment with hatred and animosity and bitterness, anger and jealousy and all this stuff in our hearts? We can't let, I read something earlier this week, we can't let the donkeys and the elephants cause us to forget that we're children of God, that the Lamb is love, and we are to walk in love. We can disagree politically, but we still have to love one another. And that's how they're going to know that we are Christians. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We should be walking in love. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And the only way that they're going to know we're true Christians, true believers, is our love. And it's time for us to walk in love. These daily devotional readings are so powerful. And I've had people to say, could you spend a little bit more time on the Sunday school lesson itself? Yes, I can spend a little bit more time there. But I have to be obedient to the Lord. And as he gave me these daily devotional readings, he began to deal with me on them and deal with me on them with song. We'll learn to work with each other, work side by side. If we can't do that, how are we Christians? We're working. We're working for the same God. No, we're not all in the same field or in the same area. We're all called to different assignments. But whatever we're assigned to, we have to follow that assignment. Someone over here is called to train and teach. Someone over here is building a ministry in evangelism, because that's what God has given them to do. We do it all, but everyone has an assignment. And when we love one another and help one another to do what God has given us to do, everybody isn't called to everything. Some things God doesn't allow all of us to do or to deal with. But either way, we can love each other. And help us, God, to love one another. We give him all the praise. We give him all the glory. But God, teach us how to love and how to love one another. We're one. And the only way they're going to know we're Christians is by our love. Not because we teach Sunday school every Sunday. Not because we're in church every Sunday. But they'll know we're Christians by our love. Can we trust God to love in spite of? It's all about trusting in Him. Love, regardless of how you're treated, how you're talked about. We have to learn to love God. And when we look at David in this lesson today. Yeah, David messed up a lot. David didn't do everything he was supposed to do. David didn't do it the right way all the time. But David's heart was in tune with God. He was a man after God's own heart. And even though he messed up, even though some things he brought on himself, some he didn't, but still, David loved God. And he knew how to trust Him. He knew that God was his protection. He knew that God was his strength. And David went through a lot, but he continued to love. He continued to trust God. And that's the thing. Do they know you're a Christian? If your love had to determine whether you were a Christian, the things that you say about people, the things that you do on a daily basis, would people know that you're a Christian? I know that's not the Sunday school lesson, but it's all about the love of God. It's all about trusting in an almighty God. It's all about the love of our Father. Ah, He's faithful. And He is so, so very, very good. And we trust in God, our Savior. He is the one that will never fail. And as you look at these lessons in the Sunday school communities, they tell us, you know, get your Bibles, get your Sunday school books and everything out. And I hope that you've done that. I hope that you're following along with us with these lessons. But we're going to continue to trust in God, our Savior, because He's the one that never fails. We trust in Him. When we look at this lesson, my God, we're looking at David and we're looking at this situation that David finds himself in. And like I said, some commentators say different things about this psalm, but most do attribute it to David. And some say, well, we don't know the exact time that these things happen. But when we look at what David is saying in the midst of this psalm, it would appear, I'll just put it that way, and a lot of theologians agree that in Psalm 62, of course, it's not a lament where he's just crying and mourning because of the situation that he's in. But it's a song of praise, and he's telling us about his confidence in the timely deliverance of God. He's going through something. Yes, a grave situation is going on, but he's talking about he believes that God will deliver, and he believes that God will deliver in his time. He's trusting God. We're going to say for our teaching on today that the song was written during the days of Absalom's rebellion, and we don't have time to go into all of that situation with his son Absalom, but we know that David had multiple wives, and that, you know, this was not God's plan, but anyway, David had multiple wives, he had multiple children. Now, you say stepsisters, brothers, whatever, but Absalom had a sister named Tamar. She was raped by their half-brother Amnon. And when Absalom found out about it, Absalom ended up killing Amnon in revenge. And David, being the father of all of them, father of Tamar, Amnon, Absalom, David didn't do anything really, you know, he saw it happen, but David didn't really do anything about any of it. And that Absalom set up this anger and stuff towards his father, David, who was actually the king, because something could have been done, but because Amnon was his son, these were his children, he didn't do anything. And in this situation, Absalom, and we won't go into all of it, but Absalom was young and strapping and good looking and everything. And he won over the hearts of a lot of the people. And in him winning over the hearts of the people, he decided he would just do a takeover. And he was going to take the kingdom from his dad and kill his dad or do whatever he needed to do because he was going to become the king. And so many people were just drawn in by him. And that's the thing. We get drawn in by looks. We get drawn in by personalities, but we need to make sure that we stay loyal to God, because you're trying to start a coup and overthrow the king. But look at the people that Absalom gathered, and you have to go back and read through that, but Absalom gathered them to help him. So just as in earlier times, David had to run from Saul before he became king, Saul, someone who he had ministered to and was loyal to, and now this is going on with his son. So David has gone through a lot of tests and trials. Many things have happened to David, but again, his heart was always right towards God. And when all of this came up, David actually fled Jerusalem. He went beyond the Jordan, and what was he doing? He was fleeing from his son, because it was his son that was actually trying to kill him. So, and that's where we find ourselves in this psalm on today. And I love the title, that they're waiting in silence. One of our lessons, let the silence speak. We trust in God alone. And sometimes we're just doing a lot of talking. And as we talk, we stir up more confusion. The people are attacking us. Then we start telling everybody about it. Excuse me. And as we talk about it, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And God is teaching me the ministry of silence is a good ministry. When they say whatever they say, sometimes you want to clap back. You want to snap back. You want to say, no, that's not true. This is not true. This is not whatever. But God is saying the ministry of silence. Because David had been a great king to the people, but Absalom comes along and sways the people and pulls the people into him. David hadn't been perfect, but he had a good reign. He trusted God. But here comes Absalom, and it was like Absalom was attacked David's reputation and everything, and he rallied enough people to come after David. But the character of David is what God knew. God knew David's heart. And that's what we have to understand and rely on. People will attack our reputation, but that's okay. It's what people think of us. It's what they've heard or whatever. But our character is who we are and who God says that we are and who we are in living this thing out for God. And guess what? Our character is eventually going to win out. The truth is eventually going to slow walk that lie down. But in the midst of it, we learn like the psalmist. What do? We go to God. We get in that place with him. Again, we don't go into a place of depression and frustration and retaliation and fighting back at everybody. No, we go to God and we trust in him. I'm looking at this and I think I want to just read it. I'm going to read it quickly from the King James Version. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. I'm going to read Psalm 62 in its entirety from the New Living Translation. And then as we go through the lesson, we'll maybe look at the NIV or look at the King James Version. And I'm going to go over maybe about 5 minutes, but we're going to go on into the lesson. As I always tell people, if you want to miss the daily devotional readings, just get into what is said about the Sunday school lesson. You have the opportunity to just scroll over a little bit and hear that. And God is giving me some clarity and direction on how we want to continue to do some things. And as we work our schedule through it, we'll get to do that. But as we look at Psalm 62, and again, I'm going to read from the entire psalm from the New Living Translation. I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken. So many enemies against one man, all of them trying to kill me. To them, I'm just a broken down wall or a tottering fence. They plan to topple me from my high position. They delight in telling lies about me. They praise me to my face, but curse me in their hearts. My God, today, let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him. For God is our refuge. Common people are as worthless as a puff of wind, and the powerful are not what they appear to be. If you weigh them on the scales, together they are lighter than a breath of air. Don't make your living by extortion or put your hope in stealing. And if your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life. God has spoken plainly, and I have heard it many times. Power, O God, belongs to you. Unfailing love, O Lord, is yours. Surely you repay all people according to what they have done. And again, when we look at this psalm, he's not lamenting. He's not crying. He's not asking God, God do this, God do that, God get my enemies, God do this. He's telling God, he reminds God of the things that the enemies are doing, which God already knows. But in this psalm, David, the psalmist, comes not to lament, but to trust in God, to let us know how he trusts in God. And then he changes later on to tell us that we need to do the same thing. Ah, my God, I love it. Don't make your living on extortion. Don't make your living taken from other people like so many other people have done. Because when we stand before God, he's going to remind us of all of that. But the thing is, we don't trust in wealth. We don't trust in riches. We don't trust in people. Some of us have too much confidence in man. And when you take all your confidence and put it in a man, you're taking that away from God. You're making that man or that woman or that person or that thing, your bank account, greater than God. And we're reminded by the psalmist that we have to quietly and patiently trust and wait on God. I just wanted to read that from the New Living Translation. But here we find David in a place of silence and solitude. And sometimes we end up in that place. We not want to be in that place, but because of circumstances and situations, we end up in that place. We end up all alone and we're wondering. But David tells us what we need to do when we are in that silent place, when we are in that secret place. David has fled from his enemy, who happens to be his son, and those that he has trusted in the past, they've rallied against him. And David, again, is fleeing for his life. It's not something that he hadn't had to do before. But here in this psalm, he says, I'm going through trouble, but I'm going to be calm in the midst of it. People can say, how can you have peace when you know what they're saying? How can you trust when you just trust in God? And as it says in this psalm, when people are saying things with their lips, but you know they mean something else in their heart. God gives us discernment and we need to pray. Lord, sharpen our discernment even the more. I can hear conversations as I'm walking into the room. I can hear you thinking what you're thinking while you're saying something else out of your lips. Your mouth is saying something, but your heart is not there. And David knew that as well. But when he went through this in verses 1 and 2, he was calm amidst all the trouble that he was going through. When we look at this lesson, we think about waiting on the Lord. I think about the song with one knee to bind him. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting on the Lord. I don't mind waiting because when I wait in his presence, he gives me instructions. When I wait in his presence, he gives me direction. When I wait in his presence, he lets me know that you're walking in victory. The battle is already fought. The victory is already won. You don't have to fight in this battle. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. But while you're standing still, hold your peace and let me fight this battle. Worship me. Praise me. Give me the glory that's due my name. And this is what the psalmist is teaching us in this lesson. Silence and solitude. Just sitting alone in his presence. I remember when my mentor, Dr. Venus Longmire, taught me about centering prayer. Took me to a monastery over in Georgia, and they were teaching me about centering prayer, how I just sit and center myself and completely clear my mind. Just see a picture of the ocean, see a cloud, a picture of the cross, whatever, and just completely clear my mind. That silence, that solitude, it takes a while to learn how to do it. It's not easy, because when you start trying to center yourself in prayer, in that silence and in that solitude, everything starts happening. You remember what you haven't done, what you need to do, need to make a to-do list. This happened, that happened, the phone rings. But we get into a place of silence and a place of solitude with him, and we can hear him. We can remember what he's told us. We can remember how faithful he's been in the past. And we can stand and we can trust in him. The NIV here says, truly, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. My protection, my strength, it all comes from God. Truly, he is my rock. and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. This is an unfailing trust in the God that he serves. He's our rock. He's our fortress. He's our protection. I know the enemy is coming on every hand, but God is still our protection. And he's here to protect. He's our fortress. We can run to him. He is our refuge and our strength. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. The psalmist was in trouble, and he ran to God in silence and in solitude. When we're in trouble, where do we go? We start calling other people. We get on the phone. We start calling, doing. Let me figure it out. No, get in that secret place. Get in that quiet place with God and trust him. You don't, I'm trying to believe, but evangelist, it's not working. Then go back to God. Go back to the earlier daily devotional reading. Lord, I believe, but I need you to help my unbelief. God, I know I need you to do some things for me. I'm trusting you, but God, I'm not walking in love. I'm having a hard time forgiving. God, help me to walk in love. Yes, God, I'm proclaiming that I'm a Christian, but God, I need you to help me to walk in this thing called love. And when we're able to do that, when we're able to walk in love, we can watch God watch over his word to perform it in our lives. When we wait for him in silence, stop talking so much. We got to tell God everything. Don't sit in his presence and let the Holy Spirit speak. We got to run and tell man everything. No, sit in the presence of God and let God speak. Let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us and direct us, because he is our strength. And we got to trust in him with all of our heart. When the enemy is coming against us, these daily devotional readings add so much to our lesson. When the enemy is coming against us, we have to know that I am of God. I'm his child. And greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me. And when I build myself up in my most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, I'm strengthened day by day by trusting in Almighty God. David began to ask them, how long will you assault me? How long are you trying to throw me down? You're trying to tear me down. You're trying to break me. You think I'm leaning. You think I'm falling. You're just trying to break me. You think I'm weak and unstable. But you have to understand, when I'm weak, he is strong. I might be weak and unstable. You might have me rocking and reeling. You might have shot me. You might have shot your best shot at me. But I go to the rock. And he's my strength and he's my stability. And as long as I'm rooted and grounded in him, as long as I'm trusting in him, guess what? I'm going to be all right. My God, I'm going to trust him. And there are so many people who are trying to topple us, who are trying to tear us down. David was talking about the place that he was in. He was the king, and they were trying to tear the king down. Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, they tried to tear Jesus down. So guess what? They're going to do the same thing to us. But we still have to maintain our trust in God. I love it. The NIV says at the end of the fourth verse, they take delight in lies. Keep lying. God's going to deal with that. I'm not trying to walk down lies. Keep living. God's going to deal with it. With their mouths, they bless me, but in their hearts, they curse me. And they were doing that to David. They did it to Jesus. They're still doing it to us today. Looking at those verses again, I'm going to read from the NIV. Yes, my soul find rest in God. My hope comes from him. And we got to trust him. We got to let our hope be in him. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. Again, he is my fortress. I will not be shaken. I have security in God. I trust him. Forsaken all, I trust him. Men will let you down. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock and my refuge. All that I am, everything depends on God. All that I'm able to do, it depends on God. My protection, my salvation, my strength, my everything, it comes from God. Are we looking to him for it, or are we just going through the scriptures and reading it? Are we trusting that he's our refuge and our strength? He's my help when trouble is all around me. Can I still trust God? and knowing that my life is hid with Christ in God. If the storms come, it's okay. If the tests come, it's okay. He's going to bring me out with the victory. He's going to bring me out with the testimony. So I just continue to trust in my God. He's my refuge. He's my help. I trust in him at all times. Now he's talking to us. Trust in him at all times. You people, pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. He started out talking about him. Now he's talking to all of us. God is still our refuge. Do we trust him? Do we just say, well, I'm trusting God. I'm believing God. Are we really trusting? Are we really believing? This is what the psalmist is saying to us. Not sometimes, but all times. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all of our ways, we're to acknowledge the Lord and let him direct our path. So when we're in trouble and we need help and we need protection, we're to trust in God. Go to Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who's always with me. Even though I feel like I'm all alone, I'm not, because he's with me. I'm alone in the presence of God. He's with me. And I'm with him. He's my shepherd. He leads me and guides me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear evil, because my God is with me. This is the God that David trusted. And I love David. Mess up. Yeah, Carolyn has messed up. But Carolyn is trusting God. No, my record isn't squeaky clean. But I've given it all to God. And he's washed me and cleansed me. And he continues to wash me daily as I spend time in his word. So while people are going deep sea diving into my past, I'm saying, don't you drown down there, because God is going to deal with you in his set time. But I'm going to keep soaring. I'm going to keep going higher, because I'm going to continue to trust in, confide in, and rely on Almighty God. We trust in him at all times, and we can pour our hearts out to him. It's no point in telling everybody, oh, why didn't you tell me? They tell me, why don't you tell me? No. I'm going to put my trust in God. He'll tell me who to confide in. He'll tell me who my true destiny helpers are. He'll tell me who I'm to connect with in the kingdom in this season. He'll tell me what I'm to do, but I have to trust him, because I know he won't fail me. Surely the lowborn are but a breath. The highborn are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. And King James says, men of low degree are vanity. Men of low degree, whatever your situation, it's all going to blow away. Doesn't matter. Men of high degree are a lie. It doesn't matter who you are, what position you have. I can't put my trust in you. My trust has to be in God. Because if I weigh all of you in the balance, there's nothing. Less than vanity. Solomon said, all this is vanity. All your money, all your prestige, all your position. I still can't put my trust in you, because you'll turn on me. But your power and your prestige and all of that is nothing compared to the God that I trust. Yeah, I know you buddy up with certain people and connect with certain people and get certain things. They say it's not what you know, is who you know. I know the God. I know God who controls all things. I know God who controls kings and presidents and governors and mayors. I know the God who controls everybody, every board, every judge, all of that. The heart of the king is in God's hand, and he turns it wherever he will. So rather than me trying to trust in you or your power, your position, or trust in someone else because they're weaker than I am, I'm going to put some trust in you, because you're going to be there with me, because you're dependent on me. Rather than me putting my trust in the flesh or in a man, I choose to trust in God. Oh my God, I don't have to worry about the enemies, because I trust in God. David told us we had to focus on God and believe in him. And that's what we're doing. We have to trust in him, confide in him, believe in him. Hope against all hope. Believe against everything. God, I trust you. My faith, my confidence is all in you. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise him. I'm going to praise you, God, in spite of whatever I'm going through. God, I'm still going to praise you. Sometimes it's hard praising through my tears, but God, I'm going to give you the praise. I'm going to give you the glory, because I know that you're God. I'm going to stay rooted and grounded in you, and I'm not going to put my trust in man. Because see, when I put my confidence in man, what happens? It's all vain. It is all vain. But I have security in God. And then I recognize the very power of God. We have to trust him in difficult times. We have to trust him regardless to what we feel, regardless to what we face, regardless to our circumstances. Doesn't matter your status or your position in life. We all come to the same conclusion. I trust in God. The grace in God, grace of God, the mercy of God. Just like all of us travel that same road to salvation. All of us travel that same road to sanctification. All of us travel that same road in following the leading of the Holy Spirit. When we follow that road, we learn to put our trust and our confidence in God. Sometimes it gets shaky. Sometimes I look at things, a situation this weekend, and just had me with a headache, and I had to say, stop, trust God. No. The enemy is trying to shake your faith, but you know what God promised. Stand on the promises of God. And that's where I stand. God has the power. And that's what we'll end this lesson with. We know that God has the power. The NIV says, do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. David was the king. David had it all. But his confidence was not in the palace because he had left the palace to flee for his life. But when he fled, he went to God. He didn't go to, he went to God and he trusted in him. He praised God in the midst of that storm. And then he tells us we can't put our trust in money, especially when it's ill-gotten gain. Yeah, a lot of us have gotten wealthy. People have gotten wealthy on the backs of other people. You can't trust in that. You keep getting money, you keep getting stuff and keep getting things, keep getting power, keep getting position, keep building yourself up and allowing people to build you up. But you can't set your heart on that. Your heart has to be fixed on him because God controls all things. God has spoken, and I'm looking at the King James now. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. The NIV says, one thing God has spoken, two things I've heard. He said it again, verily, verily. When God repeats it twice, you got to hear God. So verily, verily, we're saying today, as Jesus said so many times, hear God and trust him because guess what? All power belongs to him. All power that we think we have and other people think they have. No. Power belongs to God. Yeah, he gives us power. He gives us the ability to do the things that he's given for us to do. But all power is in his hands. He delegates power. He delegates the authority. We walk in power as we walk in his word, as we allow the Holy Ghost to do the work in us. It's the power of God that brings the manifestation of his spirit and all that he's doing in our midst. It's God's power. All of it belongs to God. So I know people think I have the power to do this and the power to do that. But just like when Jesus stood before Pilate, in silence he stood, not worrying about his power, not worrying about the king, that the man's power. But he knew that he was connected to the power source and all of his power, everything came from God. He said, one thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God. And with you, Lord, is unfailing love. And you reward everyone according to what they have done. We're going to be rewarded according to our works. And sometimes we're working iniquity, and that's how we're going to be rewarded. We're trying to take God's power. We're trying to be God. And God is saying, no, that's not it. That's not going to work. All power belongs to me. I delegate power and I delegate authority. In this year of the priest, we have to walk in the delegated authority. The priests and the kings, we have to walk in the delegated authority that he's given us. But we have to understand it only came from him. And when we trust him and rely on him and spend time alone with him, we understand that it all comes from God. It's no point in us getting puffed up and prideful in what we have, what we've accomplished, who we think that we are. All power belongs to God. And he reminds us that we need to trust him. He reminds us that God's going to reward us according to our works. And I keep hearing the Lord say, I keep hearing this in my spirit. You're going to reap just what you sow. You're sowing hatred, discord, confusion. You're going to reap it. Everybody said, well, karma is this and karma is that. I'm not dealing in that. I'm looking at the word of God. He said, vengeance belongs to him. He's going to repay. He said, I'll prepare a table in the presence of your enemies. I'll do it. I'm going to do it. I'm God. Let me do it. You hold your peace. You be still and know that I am God. And I'm going to end this lesson, but I'm just looking at this one song. I just want you to know that the victory is yours. He wants us to hold our peace. Let silence do it. Just be still. Know that he's God. Trust him. We have the victory. That's one of those old songs. If we trust in him, we'll walk in victory. We'll have peace in the midst of the storm. If we just hold our peace, let the Lord fight our battles. Joy. We have the joy of the Lord. He's our strength. He's our refuge. He's our very present help. And if we just trust him, we'll walk in victory. The victory is ours. We just have to wait on the Lord. Wait on his salvation. Wait on his protection. Wait on his peace. If I hold my peace, I'm just going to be still and know that he's God. As we conclude this lesson today, God alone, we have to rely on this. God alone is our refuge, our hope, and our salvation. And this is why we can praise and we can give him thanks. In the midst of the storm, like the psalmist, we can still praise God. When Jesus stood before Pilate and his accusers and refused to answer some of their questions, it was not a sign of disrespect or anger that he was even tried in this position. And when we look at this, Jesus was aware that his accusers knew that they were lying. People know that they're lying. Jesus knew that. So you know that they're lying, but just keep trusting God. In a sense, Jesus's life and ministry had been an open book, yet simultaneously a silent testimony of who Jesus was. Silent in the sense of a nonverbal, yet powerful in terms of what that life and ministry said. Jesus in his death said to us, hold your peace. Let God fight for you, and you're assured of the victory. The Bible sums up Jesus' life and ministry. He did good, but in the midst of all of that, they lied on him. They talked about him. They mistreated him. They cried Hosanna, and then they cried crucify him. So we have to live out this life. Live out this thing called life in God. And as we do that, we learn to trust him, believe him in everything. The victory is ours. When we're quiet, we fight that battle in silence. We're silent before men, but we're verbally praising God. We're open in our praise and at our adoration, letting God know we trust him in spite of all things. Do we as Christians appropriately represent and present Jesus to the world? The song, this one says, Edgar Guest says, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. Sometimes we need to live this thing out quietly and watch God do what he does. Lord God, grant us the guiding presence of your Holy Spirit so that the living of our lives will be a silent yet strong testimony of your glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And God, we thank you for the victory. We're going to hold our peace and let you fight our battles, knowing that just like Jesus was victorious, just like he's more than a conqueror, therefore we're more than conquerors. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He conquered everything. Yes, he was silent. Yeah, they didn't take his life. He laid it down for us. And for those who don't know Jesus, have not accepted him as your Lord and personal Savior, today, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, repent of your sins, believe that God raised him from the dead, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I offer you salvation today. I offer this to you. David had to have a personal relationship with God in order to know that God would take care of him. David held his peace and he had the victory. Absalom didn't take over as king. God prevailed. So I'm saying to you today, the enemy won't take over. The enemy will not prevail. Just trust God. And again, when your life is hid with Christ in God, when you know God, you're saved and you know that you're saved. Doesn't matter what man says or does. When we press a dying pillow, we know that we'll be absent from this body and present with the Lord. Share salvation with others. Praise God in the midst of, in spite of, regardless to the circumstances. The victory is already yours. Don't worry about what other people are saying or doing. God's going to deal with that. I told Satan, you get behind me. The victory is already mine. This is Evangelist Carolyn Smith. Thank you so much for joining us for the International Lesson on today. Pray that God will continue to bless you and keep you. Have a prosperous and productive week. More than anything, love, forgive, trust God. The victory is ours. Kingdom blessings.